Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, simple living. Good day, good people. I'm Robert Farrell. This is Coalesce. Thank you for joining me. Coalesce is grounded in both and thinking, heart wisdom, and listening for the common good arising in dialogue, where we are present to presence. Coalesce provides an opportunity to encounter and discover the multiple perspectives that make our beautiful community. May we see with the eyes of our heart. May we love one another with peace and compassion. May all beings come to know the divine presence within. This is episode 44, An Immanent Transcendent Fullness of Love. We are living in a truly amazing time. The ever broader shape of the cosmos is becoming an ever broader shape for theology itself. Our sun is nothing more than a minor star in one small part of a single galaxy. We used to believe our universe was static, but it is still expanding outward. When I was growing up, the common perception was that science and religion were definitely at odds. Now that we are coming to understand the magnificent nature of the cosmos, we're finding that many of the institutions of the mystics of all religions are being paralleled by scientific theories and explanations. If truth is one, which it has to somehow be, if it is truth, then all disciplines are just approaching that truth from different angles and levels and questions. When, as a young man, Francis of Assisi was looking at the stars in his backyard, he exclaimed, "If these are the creatures, what must the Creator be like?" Some think this moment of wonder was the beginning of Francis's spiritual curiosity and search. Thomas Aquinas also intuited the same when he said, "Any mistake we make about creation will also be a mistake about God." Somehow they both knew that inner and outer reality had to mirror one another. Elia Delio, a Franciscan sister and scientist, describes how our view of the universe and God has been evolving. During the Middle Ages, when most of our Christian theology was developed, the universe was thought to be centered around humans and the Earth. Scientists saw the universe as anthropocentric, unchanging, mechanistic, orderly, predictable, and hierarchical. Christians viewed God, the prime mover, in much the same way, with the same static and predictable characteristics, omnipotent and omniscient, but not really loving. God was out there somewhere, separate from us and the universe. The unique and central message of the Christian religion, incarnation, was not really taken seriously by most Christians. In fact, our whole salvation plan was largely about getting away from this earth. Today, we know that the universe is old, large, dynamic, and interconnected. It is about 14 billion years old, and some scientists think it could still exist for 100 trillion years. The universe has been expanding since its birth. Our home planet Earth, far from being the center of the universe, revolves around the Sun, a medium-sized star in a medium-sized galaxy, the Milky Way, which contains about 200 billion stars. The Milky Way is about 100,000 light-years in diameter. Furthermore, it is one of 100 billion galaxies in the universe. We do not appear to be the center of anything, and yet our faith tells us that we still are. This cosmic shock is still trying to sink into our psyches. During the next few episodes, we will be contemplating this cosmos in some small way. The findings of modern science are an exciting and evolving part of our lineage. Science can now join with religion to the benefit of all creation and all creatures. We can be good partners. This is what Pope Francis promotes in his timely encyclical, Laudato Si. As Elio Delio says, we are reaching a fork in the road. Two paths are diverging on planet Earth, and the one we choose will make all the difference for the life of the planet. Shall we continue our medieval religious practices in a medieval paradigm and mechanistic culture and undergo extinction? Or shall we wake up to this dynamic, evolutionary universe and the rise of consciousness toward an integral wholeness? This is the paradigm shift that is being asked of our generation. Let us take this moment to connect with the dynamic, evolutionary, integral wholeness. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through Him, and without Him nothing came to be. The Greek word used for Word in John's prologue is logos. Philosophy has often defined logos as the rational principle that governs and develops the universe. Christian theology would say it is the divine reason, logic, or plan that was revealed in the life course of Jesus. The early sermons in Acts tried to demonstrate that Jesus was the eternal Christ, Acts 2:36 and Acts 9:22. And therefore the deepest pattern for everything that preceded and followed him. This is a major game changer, although most will not allow their game to be changed. I like to use the word blueprint to make the point here. Every time you read the word in John's prologue, just substitute the word blueprint, and it all makes much more sense to the contemporary mind. The primal anointing, christening of all matter with spirit, which began in Genesis 1 verses 1 through 2, is called the Christ in Christian shorthand. As both Colossians and Ephesians make clear in the very first chapters, Colossians 1:15 through 20 and Ephesians 1:3 through 14, Christ is the firstborn of all creation, which makes everything else, you and I included, the second born. He is the archetype and we are the type. According to Duns Scotus, Bonaventure, and the continuing Franciscan school, Christ is plan A from the very beginning. This is far different than the plan B exercise that most of us were taught as children. Jesus, the Christ, is not a mere problem-solving answer to the issue of sin and various atonement theories, but in fact, the very meaning, purpose, direction, beauty, joy, goal, and fulfillment of the whole divine adventure. As the book of Revelation puts it, the Christ is the Alpha and the Omega of all history and of all creation. See Revelation 1:18, 21:6, and 22:13. With this perspective, Christianity need not compete with other religions. Rather, authentic Christians can see and respect the Christ mystery wherever and however it is trying to reveal itself, which is all the time and everywhere, and not just in my group. This is far beyond tribal religion. In fact, it makes all tribalism impossible. Wendell Berry, in his book Another Turn of the Crank, writes, "I take literally the statement in the Gospel of John that God loves the world. I believe that the world was created and approved by love, that it subsists, coheres, and endures by love, and that insofar as it is redeemable, it can be redeemed only by love. I believe that divine love, incarnate and indwelling in the world, summons the world always toward wholeness, which ultimately is reconciliation and atonement, at one-ment with God." End quote. Quite a daring statement from a fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. Before we can say God is being itself, which we will explore in a moment, let's dig even deeper and farther back and ask, what is the nature of that being? Is it consciousness? Is it just naked existence? The Trinitarian and Christian answer is that the very nature of being is, first of all, an event of communion, outpouring love, universal connection, a fountain fullness flowing outward, or what we now call, in less poetic language, a total ecosystem. The nature of being is that it is first of all love. The only way you and I can appreciate and know God's being, our being, and the being of anything else is by first entering into communion with it. Appreciation for the core and foundation must precede analysis of the parts. Love precedes and makes possible all authentic knowledge. To try to know something without first loving it is not to know it very well at all. Our failure to understand being itself in this foundational way has made much of the Christian search for truth and supposed orthodoxy brutal, arrogant, divisive, the possession of the academic elite, and all in the head. Let us take this moment to connect with outpouring love, being itself. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence. Be still for 1 minute. God is being itself. Acts 17:28. God is not far from any of us, since it is in him that we live and move and have our very being. Science has actually found evidence of the light that burst forth at the moment of creation. If we look up at night, the space between the stars seems black, but radio telescopes reveal that it contains a faint background glow. Cosmic microwave background radiation. This is the primordial light released when the universe exploded into being at the time of the Big Bang. That radiation survives as a cosmic relic. Astrophysicists tell us that 95% of the known universe is dark energy and dark matter and seemingly empty space, not open to our analysis, it seems. Yet we now know that all that darkness is objectively not darkness at all. What looks to the human eye like darkness is actually filled with billions of neutrinos, which are light. This sounds to me like John's gospel, a light that shines on in the dark, a light that darkness cannot overcome, John 1:5. And John goes on to say, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world, John 1:9. So the true light, or what I'm going to call consciousness, proceeds and connects and feeds all else. Being is not just love, but it is light. Note that the creation story itself says that the moment of creation is precisely the creation of light. The first word God utters in Genesis are, "Let there be light." And the first words about God are, "God saw that the light was good," Genesis 1:3-4. Of course, light implies an ability to see, to be aware, to be conscious. This is always coming into the world, which might just be the first biblical indicator of what we eventually call evolution. Elio Delio writes that Teilhard de Chardin spoke of evolution as the emergence of consciousness and complexity. As entities become more complex in nature, consciousness increases or develops. Teilhard sought to articulate a new philosophy based on the energy of love. His ontology of love is thus a radical shift from the world of being as substance to a world of love energy and consciousness, end quote. In other words, the very physical structure of the universe is love or mutual allurement. This utterly grounds our deeper notion of God as being itself, rather than God as a being, alone and apart. Both Franciscan John Duns Scotus and Dominican Thomas Aquinas said, Deus est ens, God is being itself. Duns Scotus, however, went farther and taught about the univocity of being, meaning that we can speak with one voice consistently and truthfully about a rock, a tree, an animal, a bird, an angel, and God. Aquinas said they were the same being only by analogy. The mystery of cosmic incarnation, when taken to its theological conclusion, leads us to enjoy a very real participation in the same single state of being, to varying degrees and with different qualities. This eliminates any radical distinction between things, peoples, and creatures, because Christ existed in all matter from the first moment of the Big Bang. Remember, as Colossians 3:11 says, there is only Christ. He is everything, and He is in everything. Now astrophysics tells us that the same molecules that existed at the beginning are still reshaping the universe now into endlessly new forms. All those songs about being stardust are quite literally true. Let us take this moment to connect with the univocity of being. With eyes closed and hands on heart, rest in the silence, be still for 1 minute. The practice this week is titled The Christ Hymn. I invite you to take all this heady information and experience it at the heart level through music, poetry, and paintings. The song The Christ Hymn by Alana Lewandowski and a painting by Julie Ann Stevens creatively renders the hymn from Colossians 1:15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation, because all things were created by Him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in Him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn among the dead, so that He might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in Him, and He reconciled all things to Himself through Him, whether things on earth or in heavens. In the notes to this episode, I will include a YouTube link to the song The Christ Hymn by Alana Lewandowski, and it displays the painting by Julie Ann Stevens. Thank you for being with me. In the coming days, may you experience an imminent, transcendent fullness of love. Blessings to all.